You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Take me to the water, take me to the sea.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we race through the water of the Word of God. In my youth, I played sports just about year-round, and both in high school and college. And one of the things that happened, especially in football, once in a while our coach would send a scout out to view the team we were to play next. And what we developed then was what we call the playbook. And we would look at their weaknesses and go after them and try to avoid their strengths. Well, one of the things that happened in the last week and a half was Satan has revealed his playbook to all of us. In fact, what I'm going to mention, these four different components of his playbook, I'm going to mention them because these have just been revealed to us. It's like we're living in the last days. We're living in the book of Revelation. And the first thing I want to begin with is what happened just a week and a half ago, and there were 72 nations gathered together for the Commonwealth Games. And one of the things that happened is they had an opening ceremony, and in the opening ceremony, they worship an idol. This was on international TV, and they believe as many as a billion people saw this. The most disturbing was centered around the worship of a massive 30-foot-tall horned bull. Dozens of worships were bowing down to the idol. In this presentation, the arena was staged with what looked like a ring of lava around the arena, and smoke and fire bellowed from the bull. It is clear that Satanists are no longer hiding in the shadows, but openly giving homage to Satan in rituals on national TV for an international audience. The significant portion of this ceremony was dedicated to 11 days of games, 5,000 athletes in 72 nations. Now, when I looked at what this bull and the breathing fire, and there's other pieces that we're going to get into with this, I couldn't help but think of a movie I saw once called Ghostbusters. And in it, they had a theme. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? And they said Ghostbusters. Well, we have our own Ghostbusters, and that's the Bible and Scripture and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be looking at these events that took place at the Commonwealth Games in the opening ceremony, and we're going to apply it to Scripture and make sure that we thoroughly understand what was going on and why these games were so impactful on the community. So one of the things that also that was almost unbelievable is the bull. Now, remember, this is 30 foot tall. You got people bowing down and worshiping it. It's breathing out fire and smoke. And there's a woman riding on top of it, and she's holding a flame. Now, if you don't remember, from last week, we were talking about Satan as the angel of light, as the light bearer. Well, here we have the bull, okay? We have the satanic bull. We have the woman riding the bull, and we have this light bearer concept of holding this up. Now, this comes right out of Scripture, and we want to make sure we don't lose sight of it. The woman who sits upon a scarlet-colored beast, let's take a look at her. It says in Revelation 17:3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." We'll talk about that later. "And a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth." So we see this, and, you know, I kind of wonder for a minute, didn't they realize what they were doing when they had this opening ceremony? And then I thought of a verse in Deuteronomy 28:28, and it says, "The Lord shall smite you with blindness." I think they were all blind to what was happening here. And, you know, there's a couple of issues here. One of them is the fact that this was a sporting event. Now, you know, there's a term that we use for people who are really into sports and watching it, and they're called fans. And what a fan is from the word fanatic. And what a fanatic is from the Latin fanaticus, which means mad or enthusiastic. And one of the things, it was associated with temple worship. And so we see that this fanaticism that we have in terms of sports, and we know that basically all the sports today are basically making it a religion. In fact, if you look at Rome, you talked about bread and circuses. We sort of have that today. We have bread as far as welfare, and we have circuses, all the sports. And sports actually are a religion. Now, I don't want to point to the fact that maybe every time you watch a sport game, you're really participating in a satanic ritual. No, you're not. But one of the things you ought to consider is a couple things about your watching sports. And one of the things you should consider is how much time you're spending. Do you spend the same amount of time watching sports as you do reading your Bible? Remember, the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, there's nothing more sacred than that. So take a look at what you're doing with your time. Remember, time flies, remember death. We know that these things are important to us. So one of the things that I also want to relate is, remember the Colosseum. The Colosseum was built by Titus after he had destroyed Jerusalem. And what the Colosseum was built with, okay, and this is another association of the word fanatic with actual temple worship, the Colosseum was made with money from the treasury of the destroyed temple in Jerusalem. In fact, it's called a Colosseum because right next to it was a 100-foot-tall statue of Nero. So we have this big amphitheater. We see that this is basically a structure that was designed to keep people's minds off of what really was going on in the world. Being concerned with sports, it's the same thing today. If we're overwhelmed, if we're called ourselves a fan, make sure you're not a fanatic. And your time is equally divided, at least, between reading scripture and reading and watching a sporting event. Now, one of the things also is, you know, sports are basically what we call an amusement. In fact, there's many different types of amusements, and I think it might be wise to just take a look at the word muse means. It's a verb which means to think profoundly or deeply about a matter. That's what a muse is, someone who thinks profoundly and deeply about anything. Now, the word amusement, A, means without. So you're without using your mind, so to speak. So we don't want to fall into this trap. And we see this in the Commonwealth Games. We see what was going on. And not only that, I mentioned probably several months ago about what happens at Bohemia Grove, which is a satanic ritual which world leaders apply to. Many of our presidents have been there. And what do? They worship on the closing ceremony a giant idol. And this idol, actually, they take a wrapped up, which looks like a person, and it's wrapped up. It's called the cremation of care, and they burn it live. This is exactly right out of the same things we're talking about that we saw at the Commonwealth Games. So one of the things, by the way, if you're interested in these things, go online. Go online and look up what happened on the 2022 opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games. And then if you're interested even more, go on Bohemia Grove and look up the satanic rituals and look at all the world leaders that attended these things. But, you know, you start to think about these things, you might become fearful. But, you know, we have scripture for us that basically tells us the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from all evil. And he tells us to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And one of the things that we always have to really grab hold of is Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we looked at this first thing that just happened a week and a half ago, this Commonwealth's opening ceremony, which is just purely satanic. There's two other things that happened just recently, and I'm going to go into those in detail and show you how they relate to Satan's playbook, how they relate to actually persecuting Christians. And one of them is the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. We're going to look at that in a critical way using scripture to analyze the components of the Inflation Reduction Act, which President Biden just signed. Also, there was a raid, and we're going to look at this raid on Mar-a-Lago on the prior president, Donald Trump. We're going to look at that because that actually is coming right out of the book of Revelation also. And then finally, we're going to look at an executive order. Now, this was signed a couple of months ago. It was Executive Order 14067, And that is basically fitting right into the book of Revelation when it says no one's going to be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. So we're going to look at all these things in detail, one at a time, and I mean really in detail. In fact, I estimate that this discussion that we're going to have today probably will last at least 3 weeks because there's so much to cover, and I'm being very careful. I want to use Scripture. I want to interpret it from the eyes of God, not from man. And also, we want to use our own, basically, experience in life. Remember, we talked in before about God reveals himself through our tests and journeys. And what we're going to do is take a look at what's just happened and relate them to our own self and filter it through the eyes of the Word of God. And then also in Hebrews 4:12, remember, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither there is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. So we're going to, you know, Word of God is quick. That means it's living. So we're going to look at this as a living word. We're going to look at those four elements, the elements of the Commonwealth game, the Inflation Reduction Act, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, and that executive order that Biden signed, 14067. And don't forget, we're also going to look in terms of applying it to creation. For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes and the eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen and understood, so people are without excuse. And, you know, we don't want to lose sight of the fear of God. You know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what we want to see is we want to gain wisdom on what's happening today. We want to have knowledge, and we want to understand it in relationship to God and to wisdom. And to the Holy One. And there's one of my favorite verses I memorized long ago. It was really important to me, and it stressed something that I think we should always keep aware of. Everything that you hear, whether it's on my program or any other program, you want to add it to your knowledge. And there's a verse that says basically this. It's 2 Peter 1:5-7. And this is what it says. Make every effort to add. We should be constantly adding to our knowledge, to our belief, to our beliefs, to our faith. So here's the verse. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. So we want to make sure we understand that in terms of our learning through this process that we're going through, because we're going to discuss some pretty controversial subjects, but we're going to use quotes from the own people that have made the statements, and we're going to use Scripture to back it all up. And I just want to give you a warning at the beginning, because I think this is important. It was in Acts 21:10-11, and this is what happened to Paul. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Lord, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So we see that Paul was told ahead of time, things are going to get tough, just like we've been told ahead of time, the book of Revelation and the judgment that's coming. But you know what Paul did? Didn't stop him. He went on. Why? Because he was fulfilling the great commission to go out and preach the word to the entire world. So even though we see these things, we know they're going to happen, we can see them unfolding before our eyes, we have a responsibility to bring those that we see to Christ. Now, one of the things that is very evident in our society today, and we see the differences between Republicans and Democrats, and you know, you have issues, and how do you resolve issues such as a life versus abortion? You know, it's a pretty... Republicans are looking at life as being basically at the heartbeat, and Democrats are saying, no, it's the woman's right to determine whether they want to have it or not. And then we have the marriage and family difficulties. We have the LGBT issue. Okay, the Republicans basically keep silent on that issue, and the Democrats basically are promoting it. And then we have the Second Amendment. Should you be able to carry a weapon or should you not? And then we have... the climate change, the two differences of viewpoints on whether there's a climate change or not. So What we want to do is take a look at this. And one of the things you have to keep in mind is this, and this is extremely important. We don't want to get into a battle between Republicans are good and Democrats are bad, or Democrats are good and Republicans are bad. We're going to look at that in detail, because really, this is not about the two parties. This is not about two nations. This is about exactly what Ephesians 6:12 says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, and against wickedness in high places. So this is where we want to focus our attention. In fact, in terms of Democrat and Republican, I'm neither. I'm an independent, always have been. So we want to critically look at both, because both have their problems. It's not one is good and one is bad. And we don't want to fall into that, because we want to listen to each of the comments that others make and then answer them basically with using our mind, using critical thinking. And then another verse in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We want to keep that in mind as we discuss these issues that are affecting Christians today. And then lastly, 1 Peter 5:8-9, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So we see this, and I think one of the presidents made a statement, and this is an amazing statement. I'm quoting now. Remember, I'm trying to make sure when I use something, it's a quote from somebody. And this is a quote from Woodrow Wilson, and he did it in 1913. Okay. Now, here's what he said. Now, listen to this, because this is amazing that a politician would say this. He says this, quote, since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confide in me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of something. They know not where there is some power that is so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak of condemning it. This is Woodrow Wilson saying this. This was over 100 years ago. And he was a man that really had a lot of power, because one of the things you know is one of the things that presidents can do is file executive orders. Now, the two leading users of executive orders were Franklin Roosevelt. He issued almost 4,000 executive orders, and President Wilson almost 2,000. So they basically, an executive order is basically a dictatorial statement. It's a fiat. He's just saying, this is how it is. We don't need to elect it or anything else. This is exactly the way it's going to be. And we see that even President Biden already has issued well over 100 executive orders. So one of the things that Wilson said, you know, he said men were telling him, listen, there's something going on. We don't know exactly what it is, but we're even afraid to talk about it. Well, this is what President Wilson said at the end of his life. He said this, and I quote, I have unwittingly ruined my country. A great industrial nation is now controlled by its system of credit. We are no longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant men. He said this in 1919. So we see there's something going on, and this is really, we don't want to forget, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities. We're giving powers far above what we can even begin to imagine. And one of the things, you know, we just compared about how Wilson at the end of his life was really regretful of what he had done. He unwittingly has basically sold America away to the bankers. Well, one of the things that happened also happened to David. It's very similar. Remember David, what happened to him. Satan came into him, and basically he said, listen, I want you to go and number the Israelites. And what happened was he did. And when he did, and he was warned about Joab, said, don't do it. And so he basically did it anyway. And then so the Lord basically came to David and gave him three choices. He said, do you want to have 7 years of famine, 3 months of flight before your enemies, or 3 days of pestilence? And David, he chose the third option, throwing himself on the mercy of God. Okay, so when you sin greatly, you better and you turn to God and ask for forgiveness and ask for, and be repentful of what you have done. So anyway, here we have him doing this. And one of the things, you know, it started with 1 Chronicles 21:1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So it all had its source. And I think we don't want to lose sight of the fact that it's not a Democratic Party against the Republican Party. It's us all against Satan. He's the adversary. And, of course, what happened was really amazing because the Lord sent, he chose the 3 days, and the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men died. In fact, eventually what David did, he fell upon the Lord and said, listen, kill me. Don't kill these innocent people. So we can see the result of his sin were tremendous. So one of the things we don't want to lose sight of, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. That's in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And then also, we're to be, you should be dead to your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of obedience. You see, again, we over and over see this. It's all about a spiritual warfare. We don't want to be warring against each other, and I'm going to show you how that is used against us. And in John 12:31, now is the time for the world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown. Now he's in control right now. He's ruling the world, but he's going to be overthrown. That's the future. And here in another verse, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned, John 16:11. And hereafter I will not talk much with you. Jesus is talking now. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, John 14:30. So we can see this is exactly what's happening. It's a spiritual warfare. We're not to be warring against each other. We're to be a uniting people to war against Satan. And again, we know what the outcome is going to be. We know that judgment is coming. Now, I have a couple of quotes. It was kind of interesting in terms of looking at politics. And the fact, we're going to be talking about a really critical word. It's called exousia. Exousia. It's the word that the Bible translates power, but it's not power like dunamis, which is big, powerful armies and so forth. This exousia is a legal power, and we see the ones who are basically fomenting these things, such as the Inflation Reduction Act, and we can see the Executive Order 14067. These are basically legal power. Exousia is legal power. And some of the great philosophers of the past have said some interesting comments. Plato, for example, he said this about politicians. Politicians are the same all over. They promise to build a bridge even where there is no river. In other words, the pork that we see in a lot of the legislation. And then Clarence Darrow even mentioned something I think is kind of interesting. He said, politicians are people who, when they see light at the end of the tunnel, go out and buy some more tunnel. And then John Quentin said, politics is the gentle art of getting votes from the poor and campaign funds from the rich by promising to protect each from each other. And Charles de Gaulle said something really kind of interesting, too. He said, instead of giving politicians the keys to the city, it might be better to lock the city. And Will Rogers, I contend that a nation to try to tax itself to prosperity. In other words, I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. And then Will Rogers, the problem we face today is that people who work for a living are outnumbered by those who vote for a living. And Aristotle, he had some real quotes. I'm just listing a couple of them because they're kind of humorous in a way. And these are three from Aristotle. It is a mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. That's why we need to be listening to the opposite sides and understanding what they're saying. You know, when you listen to somebody, you identify with them. And even if you don't agree with them, you should listen to them because it also gives you insights into how they're thinking. And maybe you can use a scripture verse to overcome it. In fact, one of the things that we need to constantly be aware of when we're rebuking somebody, regardless of whether it's a politician or whoever, you need to use scripture. Let's get in the habit of basically filtering everything through scripture so that we can easily give a comment and basically have a firm belief in what we're saying and how we can apply it. So educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. That was Aristotle also. And it is our choice. It is our choice of good and evil that determines our character, not our opinion about good and evil. And one of the things that is kind of interesting when you see the battle that goes on in our society over laws and how they're to made and who they're going to influence and so forth, I had to look back and find that it was an interesting thing that I used to do when I was at camp. It was called tug of war. And usually what we did was we had a group of people on one side of a river, or in case sometimes a pool, and we were tugging each other and trying to get the others to fall into the water. It was called tug of war. Well, this is actually a royal sport that was practiced in ancient Egypt and China, where it was held in a legend of the sun and moon that played tug of war over light and darkness. The Oxford Dictionary says that the phrase tug of war originally meant the decisive contest, the real struggle or tussle, a severe contest of supremacy. So we don't want to get in a battle of these politics that we see. We want to recognize the battle was not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And one of the things you want to really be careful of, and that's something that Leo Tolstoy, if you remember, he wrote that massive book that I read one time during summer vacation, War and Peace. And he said something that was really disturbing. He said, all governments are in equal measure good and evil. The best idea is anarchy. Now, actually, that's the worst idea. And we can see people such as Niccolo Machiavelli. He says the ends justify the means. And then he also said, since love and fear can hardly exist together, if we must choose between them, it is far safer to be feared than loved. So we want to see this. And this is also part of the doctrine of dialectic materialism, which Karl Marx was the founder of. In fact, Marx's philosophy of history was influenced by the German idealist philosophers Hegel and Kant, the ideas of the French socialist Saint-Simon, as well as the writings of British economists like Adam Smith. So these are things, and what he did, what he said was, he wants to see a class struggle between two poles, eventually leading to a new pole or a new type of government. In fact, we see it right back, the two things that were opposing each other. We see it way back in Genesis with Cain and Abel. Remember, Cain had an offering, and so did Abel, and Abel's offering was accepted, and Cain's wasn't. This is dialectic materialism, two forces working against each other. And why we don't want to go into anarchy, because it already basically happened once in the Civil War. And one of the things that Abraham Lincoln said, he said, both read the same Bible. He's in this struggle now. Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes the aid against the other. It may seem strange that any man should dare to ask a just God assistance in wringing the bread and the sweat out of other people. So we'll continue on with this and the dangers of going into a civil war, which has been threatened by many people recently. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at comcast.net.
From the heights of the heavens,
your name be praised.
shouts.